What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode or edition. I kind of combined them, unfortunately. I made it a mistakey. Whoopsie daisy. Welcome to another episode of Teddy, What Can't We Stop Doing?
We can't stop snapping. And that actually would be fun to start labeling our episodes like comic book issues. Like, this is issue 2 of the Ms. Marvel season coming at you with the Gladiator right around the cusp of Annihilus. Big changes to Shang-Chi, a ton of stuff to talk about with the holidays coming around the corner. Podcast coverage might be a little bit spotty from yours truly, but we're going to do our best to keep coming at you guys. Brad, what are you thankful for in Snap World with Thanksgiving around the corner?
What am I thankful for? It's easy just to say I'm thankful for the community because obviously we would not be doing this if it wasn't for the community. That's always a big portion of it. And also the game just wouldn't exist and all that good stuff. But I will go ahead and also say that I am thankful for a second dinner in the steps that they've been making for the last year in improving the game and making sure that everything is moving forward in the right direction. They've had a ton of misses, and we've not shied away from mentioning those misses. But with every miss they've had, they've tried to, fill that gap between the unfortunate reality of they are a business, they need to make money, they have shareholders and people above them they have to make happy, but they also have to make the community happy and find those gray areas of the compromise. So I give them a lot of credit in that regard, and they do not deserve as much flack that they've definitely gotten, though they do deserve enough flack to have healthy criticism.
Oh, exactly. Like, make yourself heard. They've responded to community reaction before for some of the biggest outcries, which has been really impressive. But yeah, I double down on the being thankful for the community here, because we're still waiting for guilds or an official outlet in the game. But just the communities that have popped up on our own initiative with Discord servers and other streaming communities, comment communities, etc., to share the passion for the game and these characters, and to really be able to support each other in the hobby. I know it's just like it's entertainment on the side of quote unquote real life, but that can really make a difference for a lot of people. And so that really has for me as well. You know what hasn't made a difference, Brad?
What?
Gladiator. Oh, yeah, man. Sure. Do we want to talk into this guy?
Let's go and Gladiator talk. So I do want to say one thing real quick. If anyone notices that my audio quality is a little less or a little lacking, that is because I don't have my actual good mic. You can see, never mind. It's actually that's all tied off. I have my boom has no mic on it. I forgot it at someone else's place. That is the unfortunate reality. But here he is. It's Gladiator. It's this guy.
Not realize that he swears. Is this thing like is he like a Deadpool super crass kind of personality?
Well, he's like a Superman, essentially.
Okay, so is he more like Lobo in DC?
No.
Okay.
I
guess I'm meaning more personality-wise than character-wise, because every time you hit that card that's bigger than him, just the four-letter swear word comes up.
Yeah. See, again, not...
And that's what you say audibly as well, because... straight up, Brad, when I was testing Gladiator, I do my stream every single card release of just a run with just that card. What happens? I was keeping track. I would win more often when my opponent played Gladiator. I had a game where they got Loki and they played two Gladiators and I only played one, so I won. And then I played another game where I played Gladiator, they didn't play any, I lost. And it went on like that. It was just, man, oh man. The impact of how many cards are on reveal, and that on reveal being able to take place before he destroys the card and can completely flip the board. Like, I had an enemy summon my surfer, which then wrecked them, kind of stuff that I wouldn't have had access to otherwise. So he really is an extreme liability.
He's a really, it's a cool effect. Let me start by saying that. I think the design's really interesting and cool, but he's also very difficult to balance because if he was like because he originally was a 3/8, and I'm sure internally they're like, it's a little bit too much hitting consistently stuff or whatever.
Was also just, it becomes too good with zero, right? At some point.
I do have a question for you. Do you think with this card, one thing I thought that would make him maybe a little bit better, also in certain instances, it would also make him worse. I would like to acknowledge that too. But what if it's a tie, like you end up, like if you summon a card out, it's a tie, like it's a seven or he's got buffed up to an eight or a nine and you hit the same amount, it bounces to their hand instead of sticking on the board. Like it's drawing it for them essentially.
Okay, interesting. I mean, I kind of like the idea if he could just destroy it and be a tiebreaker because he quote unquote has initiative in that kind of interaction.
Yeah.
So if it has, what would it be? If it has more power, I guess then the wording becomes complicated on the card technically. But getting rid of those sevens would be nice. It's becoming a larger category of cards in the game with the Nihilist release right around the corner. But really, it's like the Chavez pulls because it's pulling any card, not just their top card. Can we also please change it top card so he's not going to hit Chavez? Please?
Yeah, I thought it was top card until I was pulling stuff like Chavez.
Until I got hit with a Chavez, and I was like, what is this? This is like directly countered by one of the most popular cards.
Yeah, we can do a twofer, though. You know what you can do? Change this to the top card and also change Howard the Duck to say that you get to see both people's decks top card.
Thank you. Someone's sticking up for Howard. Looking out for that little guy.
I will acknowledge there was the Untapped post the other day that was like, how would you fix these cards? And it was Kang, Howard, Master Mold, and one other card. Yeah. I don't remember what the fourth one was. But it's like not very well much played cards.
Ronan?
And Ronan. Maybe? No, I don't know. They wouldn't have him and Master Mold in the same post. All of people were like talking about Howard. I do think Howard's just an issue of him being too expensive. I think he's a perfectly fine, serviceable card that if he was more available to the average player, like if he was in Series 3, for example, which, by the way, I still stand by this. Make Watu give you information on both the second and third location, not just the last one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Take him out of Pool 1, put him in Pool 3, and put Howard in Pool 1. To be your, because they said the reason they didn't want to do that for Watu was because they're like, well, we don't want these players in the early game that have access to this card to misunderstand information and use that too much as a crutch. We want them to, while they're still learning, to understand that, you know, variations are important and like information can come sparingly. And I'm like, well, Howard does that perfectly. And if you think Watu's too good to see both locations in that sense, then swap them. Put Howard in Series like, 1. And
yeah. I do agree. Like, giving Howard to the newer
So, like, what does it matter?
Yeah. I think people would be more okay with him as one of the starter cards and just in his current state, right? I could also see some fun things where, like, if you gave him, when played, draw a card, and then you see the top of your deck, something like that, give him an additional effect.
Good. I think that'd be too good.
Well, it would have to change his stat line. It would have to change his stat line. Maybe what if he was a 0/0, drew a card and let you see the top card for the rest of the game? Like there's stuff where then he would be really bad at the end of the game, but he would be good played earlier and is just like taking up board space. There's some interesting things.
Even if he was a 1/0 or like a 1/-1, I think he would be played in almost every deck at that point.
Just to be able to thin.
Yeah, card draw is so insane, and then being able to have card draw and information on top of that. Like, seriously, I genuinely think, like, hard to even look at Howard and like as a potential like rework or maybe slight buff or whatever. Because again, once he drops to Series 3, I think you're going to see him just be an average card, and that's perfectly fine.
Man, this is there's so much interesting potential. Like if you could see your card and then like you made him more expensive, but then like you could at some point activate him to then take that card's ability or make him like a 3/0. You see the top card and then you have a way to activate him to immediately draw that one or something. You know, you just put a much higher price on the draw.
Once per game, you can swap him with the top card of your deck.
Swap him. There we go. And you make him like kind of a morph. He's a 3-0 something. Because then you know you're drawing Howard later, so you're not really gaining a draw. You're just flipping the initiative of that card coming from the deck, and you've already had to invest to set up Howard. That's actually one of the most fascinating card designs I've heard in a while, Brad. That's a great idea. But you just
I don't
have
know
to...
how they would implement that. Cause
no, the implementation would be weird, and it would be like a little bit of new user interface, which they've never done for a card, except for Kitty, which completely broke the game. So we don't know if that's going to come around. But back to Gladiator... Yeah. You're really hoping that I was hoping that this would hype up either a null empowered deck or a surfer, super surfer deck. I was just having more success with my surfer without him in the deck.
Yeah, I tried like him in like a zero kind of list. Not even like going all in on Shuri and stuff. It was just like zero with like him, Typhoid Mary. You had Luke Cage in there as well, and like Lizard. That was like the core.
Yep.
And look, every deck I played with him was fine. There are games in which he was amazing and sniped a card. And I was like, well, there goes your Ravonna. You're not going to get that. Bye-bye. And he's now just a 3-7. But there's also equally as many games where he pulls out a Chavez or a Vision. And I'm just like, ooh, that sucks.
Yes.
And it effectively like...
Dr. Doom, and then he's got the Doombots that live, Eliath, and then that kills Gladiator. It's like, come on, man.
And look, you cannot make this card a mini Eliath. The on reveals and the ongoings, they have to trigger. Like, they have to become established.
Yeah. Right.
If he was just a mini three-cost Eliath, which we already have one in Negasonic,
right.
By the way, she's amazing.
Yes.
You can't give it to this guy too. So balance wise, I think he's fine. I think he's, I mean, look, do we have snap stats. One, you know what's funny? It has, when played 48%, it's a higher percentage just by drawing it and just
do
by chilling in the deck.
Yeah. Yes. This is why you do better not playing him. The decks that he's in are fine. These like Battle Sarah, Surfer, Junk, even like a Destroy deck with him slotted in as an option for null.
Right.
But that line is so much better if you're able to just play through all the Destroy effects. And man, it's tough. It's tough.
What did you think real quick before we move on to the next thing?
Yep.
How was this spotlight? I mean, it has Loki in it. So.
Loki was worth it all, basically. Like, the Loki is still arguably the best deck. He's got real competition now, more so than before. Still right up there with both the bounce and the traditional versions. So just right there, totally worth it. Gladiator being the shiny new thing, obviously, is a drag. Mirage, I think, is fine. She's replaceable in almost every... She's easily replaceable by Sentinel. Right, Sentinel. Yes.
Sentinel.
Yep. So, low priority, but the avatar on Casual Mirage is pretty cute. So, you got that.
Did you use Spotlights to get Gladiator?
Yes.
And how many hits?
This one was a 2 for me. Trying to claw back my odds after the 5 for Nico. Right, I misclicked, guys, and I opened up the fifth one by accident, but then I got her variant, so, yeah.
This was my first, like, needed to use all four like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
My last 3 weeks, it was Nico, Werewolf, and then the Negasonic variant that I wanted, all of them on the first try.
Fire.
And I was like, let's go. So when the math caught up to me, you know, when Gladiator rolled around. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even mad. I can't be mad. I high rolled the last 3 weeks. So it is what it is. I still say, look, just save up 4. I have a buddy who loves to just try to roll on his 1, maybe 2 spotlights and then gets mad when he doesn't get the card. And I'm like, well... This is like the Hannibal Buress meme where he gets shot by Andre.
Yeah.
And he's like, why would they do this to them? Like, you're doing it to yourself.
Right.
just save up. I know it's not the best system in the world, but it's, I think it's better, but whatever. It's a good one though. This is a good week. You know what else is a good week though?
Annihilus, baby.
Yeah. Let's scroll down. Let's take a look at this. This is a great one.
Fire.
And you get Dakin X23, a wonderful Ryan Gonzalez chibi, and X23, which I was a little disappointed that I did not pull the trigger on getting the variant for X23 in that last spot while she was in. Don't tell me if as it's not
Alien
loaded, right?
Is the definitive variant, though.
This is the one I have. Have the Alien one. But I missed not getting this one here because I really love the classic suit.
Yeah.
I am huge fan of it. So having the opportunity to get the classic suit in the beautiful Ryan Gonzalez art is pretty sick. So I'm going to be happy to pick this one up. But more importantly, I'm happy to pick up this dude right here. Why does this art look awful in that spot? There we go. I don't know why the resolution on that one down there was so low. Hey, Teddy, what does Annihilus do?
He turns that clog deck that you learned to hate during the Sinister London featured location period into a viable deck at all times. 5/7 on reveal, your cards with zero or less power switch sides, destroy those that can't. There is a lot to unpack here, and I've seen in my chat just countless people who just don't, they see all this text and they don't really get what he is doing. So if I've played Hood, he is zero or less power. I then play Annihilus. The Hood is going to try to move to my opponent's side of the board. If their side of the board is full for whatever reason, it's either on Space Throne or a location where they drop down a ton of cards against me, then the Hood will die. So I have no downside to playing Sentry, to playing Hood. I can return goblins. And honestly, the most reliable and maybe the most vicious attack is using Debris into Annihilus to give the opponent double rock and your side of the board completely open, which is just very oppressive. It will brick Ms. Marvel. It's going to wreck Loki decks that have always been very space hungry. You really just have a bad matchup into Destroy. But even there, if their game plan is to rely on Null, you can still give them a hard time playing cleanup against these negative power cards.
Right. And I will say the really interesting thing about Annihilus is this might be the first archetype-centric card that is both good for the archetype and against that archetype.
True.
Like, that's so interesting to me. The fact that, like, match. You're in the mirror, it's like, well, I don't, your goblins don't do anything to me. Bye-bye.
Oh, baby. Let's go. Yeah, because, I mean, you also have Viper that's always done that as well, right? Oh, you gave me something? I'll give it back to you.
Yeah.
The power there, the surprise moves you can make with Titania to be able to take out locations. It's going to be fireworks around this clog deck, and I think it's going to make some people really rage because, man, when you don't have a deck with answers to clog right now, it's brutal if they get good draw.
Surfer is going to be a huge fan of going against this deck because I think Surfer is going to have an easy matchup against this because Surfer runs Storm. They used to run Goose. I think this is a reason to bring back Goose into that two drop slot. And then you can run Cosmo. And she'd be like,
Annihilus is very interesting on Cosmo to me because he can pseudo dodge it. You could set up Cosmo on one side and Annihilus affects the entire board, not just his one lane. Play him anywhere to be able to get this swap sides action. And remember, it's not giving you any of the opponent's cards, or it's not like if they've got Iron Man, you're not taking their Iron Man. Their cards all stay. It's only your cards that are being affected. I've seen that as a misunderstanding. It would give the enemy a Dracula or an Iron Man on your side, but you can obviously play around that not being an issue. He seems really fun. He does. He seems really fun. It's just going to be a matter of finding the consistency on that deck's early play pattern and not really high rolling around kind of the Hood into Viper or getting Debris. Mm-hmm. I think you are right that Surfer will do fine because Surfer can also run Killmonger. and just buffing the Green Goblin. It's like, yeah, I got another 3 cost, so that's going to be positive points for me. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fantastic card, a really fun one. And it just has the ability to go in way more decks than you think. It's not just going to be in your typical junk decks. There's going to be plenty, like, similarly to how we've seen, you know, the Black Bolt Stature package, I would not be shocked to see Sentry and this guy, and maybe a Carnage, just slot into, like, a Darkhawk deck with Zavu. Yep.
That's the big hit, right? Is you have played Hood on 1, Debris on 3, you can do anything on 2, Sentry on 4, Annihilus on 5. The enemy is getting Hood up to 4 rocks, depending on the space available, and the Void. At that point, you actually have to be careful about, you probably play so that Debris on the right, so the Void is there, and he's not competing with rocks for space on the enemy's side. The enemy's looking at no board space, massive negative power. You have no downside having played negative cards on your own side. You're holding a demon. You've got the Sentry. You've got Annihilus. It's lights out.
Yeah, and there's also something in regards to... it's a little tougher now that I'm imagining it in my head and mapping it out. But if you have a way to get this down earlier, like on 4, but you also want to have Sentry down before this too, to really use. So you can't just go turn 2 Zavu, turn 3 Sentry. You can't cheat to this at that point.
Right. Not really.
Maybe this and Thanos can be something as well. Like a Thanos destroy deck.
What if you just bring up magic? This was a trick that I used in some of my like beta era Clog decks. I was running that Sunspot, and I had my magic, and so I would just like keep giving them stuff, and then try and extend the game. Back when magic was a 5/3, guys, I was paying a premium to do this. But then they're stuck with such tight board space, and it lets your control cards hit way more reliably if you want to bring in your Shang-Chi or your Rogue, whatever ongoing hate you're bringing as well. And then you kind of get that effect if he's early and you have a little more time to space stuff out, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about this card is the simple fact that if it doesn't hit, like if everything's too full on their side and they don't jump over, they destroy them anyway. Yes. So that's big.
Your opponent is like, oh, I blocked it coming to my side, which would stuff Viper, but not Annihilus. Yeah, the fact that you can just cleanse this Sentry play is huge. And yeah, you could pretty conveniently set up a Cosmo to protect the Sentry as well, if that's what you like doing. Really cool card art. This guy, I hope they give him a banger animation. Like, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm feeling big bad. Honestly, like, it is an archetype-defining card the way some of the big bet like Thanos is and High Evolutionary. Not quite, but very close.
Well, Teddy, let me ask you this. There's another 5/7 that was released not too long ago.
Yep.
He was actually released as a 5/8 and then nerfed him a little bit.
Yeah.
Everyone overlooked him. Everyone thought it was just the meme card of the month. Not good. And it turned out to be one of the best cards in the entire game in Legion. Now, subsequently, he was nerfed down to a 5/7. And for some reason, people are like, I don't want to play with you anymore because you got a point of power knocked off. Just like Black Bolt and Stature a couple months prior to him.
Yep.
He's still very good. Legion's still very good. Now, Annihilus has a much bigger target on his back. Do you think, when it's all said and done, Annihilus will have a similar impact on the game that Legion did, albeit maybe this time around a bit more expected?
Ooh, wow. I'm going to go with yes, maybe. I could easily see him needing nerfs because of how fluid that playline that I said is, just using Forge, Sentinel, Annihilus, Sentry, sorry. I'm going to mix those up forever. I apologize, guys. But then you also have so many easy backup plans if you're not hitting one of those or you're not hitting the Annihilus. You've got your Brad's Rule of Three in the Debris, the Hood, and the Sentry. So that's looking really solid. And then you have the Rule of Three in terms of what you do and comboing with those cards in Annihilus, Viper, Carnage.
Yep.
So that right there is a really good core. And even if you just want to run like Hood and Annihilus, you could do that. It's going to be way less consistent, but you could.
I think you still run, a Spider-Woman in that deck, because then on turn 6, you can go Demon Spider-Woman.
Let's go. Yes, that pop-off is awesome. You can play into that the debuff side of Clog, or the like just raw point and board attack side of Clog. I know that you've played Man-Thing in a lot of your Clog decks to great success. I think that differentiates the deck into like fully two different forms, which is going to be really fun to see. In terms of can he stand up to Legion's Legacy, that's going to be really hard because Legion was the plug and play. You didn't have to have anything to combo with Legion for Legion to be good. You do have to have stuff to combo with Annihilus. So that's my maybe. I think it backs him off a little bit right there. And then just because he has such a bad matchup into Destroy, which is right now in my meta pocket, very popular and very good. Same. It's going to be tough. But then again, that Clog deck can just choose to run Armor Cosmo and basically put a Band-Aid on that matchup and just say I'm good enough at overpowering the other guys. I can use my tech spaces for Destroy only. So you have a great matchup against Loki. You have a great matchup against Thanos. You have a great matchup against Ms. Marvel. And if you put the Band-Aid on finding how you answer Destroy, I guess you just have to beat Loki Bounce, which I think you could. That one's going to be really a skill matchup. That one's going to be the spicy one, probably. And then, yeah, deck is fire.
Now, there is one thing to be said that a lot of people are, you know, I've already seen plenty of people on the subreddit or Discord or whatever saying that this is going to be a card that definitely gets nerfed in the future to be like a single lane or whatever, or this type of card is toxic and overall unhealthy for the game. Do you feel about that sentiment that a card like Annihilus is something that's toxic and bad for the game?
I don't think so. I think that letting Clog, because they've put such a premium on having board space be a true resource that you have to be able to manage and something that you can directly attack, is fascinating to me. You have, if that becomes a really popular form in the meta, you can, of course, answer it. Like, it's not unanswered the way that some cards released have been, like with no counter. There are counters. You can run your Valkyrie. You can run stuff that are scaling options that you don't have to have too much board space, but you can invest in stuff like the Sunspot to be able to scale up. High Evolutioner, I think, will have a pretty good matchup here. Being able to just drop a couple cards, pass a lot of energy, drop a big Hulk, does okay in that regard. Just running some cleanup on your side with a Destroy card that's effective. Like, honestly, Carnage is not that bad. As long as he's got a couple low power targets to chew on, he's good stat efficiency, opens up a lane. Even like Hulkbuster has some fun combos right now, especially if you like running Nico anyway. And then that's points on a lane without space on a lane. So I think it just kind of, if the pendulum swings heavily in Annihilus' favor, there are ways to tech your good card decks into a way to be able to play around it as well.
Yeah, I would be, I mean, I do think that at the end of the day, junk probably sits around a tier 2 deck, right? I don't think it crosses that threshold into the top, tippity top of the meta.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong. Like, now, do I want to be wrong? I'm not 100% sure on that.
Uh-huh. I feel like junk has always felt to me like one of the highest skill ceiling decks to play back when it was more popular, or I was just like trying harder on using it. I felt like I could build decks that would have the tools and then just the planning ahead of like, am I using Hood here? Do I need to use Debris? Do I need to attack with Green Goblin? When do I make the call on like sending the goblin over to fill the space? When do I make the call on using Titania, et cetera, et cetera? What kind of tech cards am I bringing to patch up my bad matchups? Like all of these things, like you have the options. You just have to be able to read the matrix. And so anything that is a high skill ceiling deck being good, I'm happy with. And I think that junk is in kind of that area. We'll have to see if the raw numbers is too much with the void being negative 10 and then Annihilus at 5-7. It could be that they just need a couple number tweaks, but I love the play style, similar to how I did actually like Loki. He was just overtuned, and I like Loki being a good deck in any meta.
Right. Well, I got the meta pulled up.
Yep.
It's the first few decks. So let's see how this junk deck kind of matches up against a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Sheena is one that's interesting. Also, I'm so tired of that being the name. High Evolutiona is right there, guys. Come on. That is such a better name than Sheena. I hate that that's stuck.
Yep.
Whatever.
I mean, I always like the Dirty 30 better, but yeah.
So yeah, Sheena, that's going to be one that's probably one that I would say is a more of a 50-50 matchup, because there is risk in them going magic on three and then doing their leech on five into floating on six. There's the deck does a lot of like singular cards, and running out of board space can be pretty detrimental to them.
It depends here, because you pretty much know if they've set it up, if there's a full pass into that next play, which can really give you freedom on goblins, if that's what you're using for board space attack. And so if you can lock up one lane early in a guaranteed win, then you can bring the pain on them having to win both other lanes by just like dump your big stuff, depending on what your big stuff really is in that deck. But yeah, it's not a board space hungry deck. They play Sunspot, they pass. They play Misty Knight, they pass. They play the Cyclops, they pass a lot. And then just those couple big cards to win lanes. So that one I do see as being pretty tight.
I think in that one, you have to really attack two lanes aggressively and to like fill it onto their side to like force them shoehorned into a single lane and then give you the highest opportunity of overcoming one of the other lanes. But next one is one you said you think is going to be pretty pretty good matchup for the junk deck or anything that's running a Nihilus for that matter, especially with Debris, would be a Miss Marvel style deck. Now, this is not, I think it's disingenuous to say this is a Miss Marvel deck. That is ridiculous. This is a ramp deck. This is a Sandman ramp deck that's just playing Miss Marvel because it's good in the deck. I cannot say
it's good in a lot. It's good in any deck that's not very board hungry. I'm still waiting for Miss Marvel to make it into that Sheenot deck, because like they'd love playing her. They don't play too many cards that overlap in power or cost.
So yeah, so what, she'd be another option to play on five instead of leech, essentially. But what do you cut?
Well, you either cut leech on meta read, or you cut shocker, cut armor, depending on meta read of how prevalent the destroy is. So
I'd say cutting armor, or cutting shocker, it feels like an easy one, but
yeah,
that lets you go into those games of still doing She-Hulk, Hulk, She-Hulk, Infinite in a six-turn game where you don't have magic.
True.
So, anyway.
I'm still there for it. Honestly, you could cut Infinite. You just need Hulk. Or cut Hulk.
Yeah.
Run only one of those big boys and have the more mid-power in the Ms. Marvel. But yeah, anything Ms. Marvel is going to get thrown off by having threes, multiple ones added to their side of the board. And this particular one, the Orca, is going to really struggle, but that's not super common. Dr. Doom, if he's losing board space on getting his bots to land, is really in trouble. But yeah, when you turn Miss Marvel into that 4-5, man, the opponent is crying. And if you have brought ongoing hate like the Rogue yourself, to flip it in an Annihilus game where your board is probably going to be pretty empty, you can easily score that on them. Like, that's going to feel awesome.
Yeah, I think that just the fact of being able to turn off Miss Marvel can be pretty nice. I am wondering, as I'm seeing a lot of these top decks have a fair amount of decent one drops in them.
Yep.
Is it sacrilege of me to say, maybe as another plan for yourself, do you run Killmonger in any capacity in your junk style deck just to have that backup plan?
I don't think so, man. You got to have the clutter on the board. And I think you just accept if they played a lot of one drops that you get kind of lanes that become vulnerable to filling up. The Sunspot's always dicey because if you lose to the full pass, that's just one of the worst, most feels bad moments. Do you bring the Electra just to clip those and then still send rocks? I don't know. I think you just embrace the ones and you throw them, like the debris rocks at them.
All right, well, how about Shuri? Shuri's one that's been around for a long time.
Bad matchup. Still
a very good deck. And I would, I'd agree with you. It just goes tall. It only needs a couple spots in each lane anyway.
Yeah. Now, if you're running Magic with a Shang-Chi, or if you're running Magic and a Shadow King, they have to show you vulnerable targets within the span of when you can line up control against them. So if that's the angle that you're teching your clogged deck, you can have that matchup. I personally don't see Shuri too much, but if she's in your pocket meta, you probably want something to fight that.
Well, let's go ahead and let's try to run a little experiment here. How are we making this deck? We're making an Nihilus deck real quick.
Yep.
What are we putting in it?
All right, throw in the big green man with the wings. Get the Nihilus on there.
Oh, let me scroll down first. Are there any one drops that we want?
Yeah, we need Hood.
Oh, yeah, of course, Hood.
Can argue on Nebula being good for us because we're attacking their side. Pretty easy to get limit their options to play against her. And honestly, if we have space, always nice to be able to have the Snow Guard.
Okay, so let's leave Hood as the one for now, and if we see we have space to work, go back to a couple of other ones, we can do that. So we want Carnage as a backup plan. Do we want Black Viper? Widow?
Yes. Let's start her in.
All right. So
Black Widow, Viper.
Viper, Black Widow. Okay, so those are our twos for the most part. You can tech in armor, I think, is if there's a lot of destroy, but I don't think that's going to be your main option.
Scarlet Witch, any kind of location interaction is interesting. It's like picking, you're going to want one thing, I think, and then we'll see at the end what makes the most sense.
I think Scarlet makes more sense than Snow Guard just because of board space and opportunity cost.
Does she make more sense than Legion?
Competing with... Well, if we did Legion, we're looking at 3 5 drops in Annihilus, Spider-Woman, and Legion.
Yeah, but we're not running any sixes, are we? Or are we trying to bring in Chavez?
No, I don't really think Chavez is that much needed. There's too much stuff that you want to be able to...
Green Goblin. Get the Goblin.
Yeah.
Goblin Debris. Our musts.
Okay. Let's see. A lot of these other threes. I mean, okay, so Polaris is interesting. Polaris?
Right.
Just to be able to pull stuff over, but I think that's one we put on the back burner for now, if we have the space.
Right. Spider-Man as well, right?
Yep, same idea. We talk about this off camera. I think there's going to be two versions. There's a Man-Thing version and a Sentry version. I don't think you run both in the same deck.
Because Man-Thing is always Luke Cage. Sentry is always Carnage as like a second hand. So we already teched Carnage. We'll go Sentry.
Do you want Hobgoblin? Or is that too much?
I'm going to say without Ravonna, actually too much. There's also a Ravonna like all in on Goblins world here.
Right.
Grab our fives.
So we want Spider-Woman.
It's either Spider-Woman or Gamora you pick there.
Right. So Annihilus isn't there yet. I'm gonna put Black Bolt in as our Annihilus for now.
Cool.
Because that's the one that we know is the odd man out.
Man, Arrow also is like an option. You've got some dirty tricks here.
Go back up. Let's see what our slots look right now. So this 3-0, is what we're looking at. Let's go.
Okay. So these are our tech spaces. We have the heart of everything that is Clog, even a little bit of a luxury in the Black Widow. So I think that this is where you start looking control, Shang-Chi. It's like magic, Shang-Chi, and then your ongoing hate of choice, right?
Yeah. I do wonder if Magic, if it ends up being a detriment more often than not, just because you're extending the option of them overcoming the board space, if that makes sense. I know not every deck has the ability to do so, but yep. Especially like Loki and stuff like that, you're giving them potentially a Carnage or their own Annihilus, right?
Okay, fair, so fair. So then we probably go cheaper. I think we go like a location buzzkill with the Scarlet Witch or Legion, and then you tech Shadow King Rogue, and you keep things on a cheaper curve. Is there, does the, how far down the meta report do you have to go for current clog?
Probably pretty far.
Okay.
Just so to see how it's lining up. Shadow King, Shadow King, Shang-Chi, like something like that?
Yes. Yep. I like it. Looks pretty mean. And then, yeah, plenty of flex slots to be able to adapt to your meta pocket.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, they got junk down in D.
Let's see.
Oh, we need Titania.
Do we?
Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. Also, does Daredevil work right now?
What's the current status? They have it ready to go for the next patch, but not yet.
Okay. That does hurt.
But knowing where stuff is nice. So the top.
That's true. Honestly, all you need to know is where, right? The broken Daredevil could still have a spot.
The top junk deck is right here. I just did by Viper, the ones that are including Viper.
Yeah.
3,700 games played, 53.1%, and then 0.43 cube. They're running armor. Viper. They're going Sunspot, though, with a little bit of She-Hulk package and Moon Girl. So they're also trying to go like double demon, double She-Hulk type of shenanigans, too, while clogging up in the early game.
This one on the right, I think, is actually the more popular one. At least the one on the right was the... That was the deck for the Sinister London era. It's this Doc Ock play.
I know Viper into Goblin on 4 is always fun to get that double clog.
You mean Titania?
Yes, or I apologize.
Titania Goblin?
Titania Goblin.
Yep.
I just think...
She's also just good as Titania plus Spider-Woman on 5.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if we went cut the Shadow King and brought in Titania?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got space for Shang-Chi. I don't think we run both Shang-Chi and Shadow King. Let's run Titania here.
Yeah, I got Shang-Chi right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then we don't need Shadow King. So yeah, Titania, I love this. Obviously, Black Bolt again. Cut for Annihilus here.
Right.
Just our 5/7 placeholder. Mm, delicious. We cooked. The Magic, if you want to spice things up. The Legion, if you have allegiance to the King instead of the Scarlet Witch and you're okay with a little bit of a pricier finish.
Well, to be fair, with something like Legion instead of Scarlet Witch does give you a potential like guarantee hit on 6 with a 5 and a 1, because you're probably going to have Titania in hand, because you don't usually want to play her that aggressively, or you have a demon in hand.
Right, so the big thing that we're keying off of here is that this deck is exponentially better when the locations, you have one location that's claustrophobic already, and a tight board you can almost always win. If it becomes a two location game, for whatever, like Bar With No Name appears, you win those games every time. You want a location interaction to be able to get around some of these locations. And then the Legion really lets you double down on stuff that's spawning tokens, taking up the opponent's board space in an even manner. That's a win for you. And that's where also the snow guard with bear is actually like really potent. If they get extra raptors, if they get extra squirrels, even if they get an extra monster, you're holding Shang-Chi. And if they don't have board space to be able to receive the monster, wow, you can really punish them on these like couple key locations.
One thing I am interested in some regard. So we'll just save this one real quick. I am a bit interested in this, like a Darkhawk deck with Annihilus. So like I'm thinking, you know, Korg, Nico, Widow.
Yes. Are we going Renslayer?
I don't think so, because
if you want to play Hawk and you want to play Widow and you want to play Goblins, it's a Renslayer deck. It's right.
That's fair. But the alternative is you can do Zabu to go, because you have Hawk, you have Sentry, presumably, or even Man-Thing as well.
That's true. Zabu can be pretty solid too. They're both two cost. What do we like a little better? Honestly, Renslayer might discount more cards here than Zabu.
You know what? We'll do it.
Obviously flexible depending on how you're teching the deck. If you want to take like Shang-Chi and Enchantress and Sentry and heck, Man-Thing, Zabu is a must.
So I'm wondering on Mystique, because that's if we... Let's hold off on that, because that's... Or in my mind, I'm thinking that's too crowded.
Maybe.
Where's Rockslide? There's Rockslide.
So this way, we're going to be able to put down more reliable points and attack their board a little less. It is King of Rocks world if we run the debris as well, right? Rockslide and debris. The opponent's just scratching their head. You have to run the rock avatar, by the way. That is required to play this deck. Ooh. The Mad Lad has brought Iron Man.
Yeah, it's probably incorrect with Annihilus.
You would give Iron Man if you played it. Now, can you play around it? Yes. Should you be able to? Yes. Is there like a 1 in 20 games where it bites you? Yeah. I don't know. What number do you put it where it's going to bite you? 1 in 20? Lower than that? Higher than that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So...
Brad loves the Spider-Woman, guys.
I think she's one of the more underrated cards in the game.
Fair enough.
The alternative, though, is putting Eliath in that slot.
Eliath or Gamora, yeah.
Which, I mean, Eliath in a junk deck, I think, is actually also really good. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So Black Bolt again is our Annihilus. Ravonna reduces the cost on Goblins, Hawk, and Widow. We have a Shang-Chi to help with stuff. I don't know. Like, I think this isn't probably the exact list. I mean, Nico's maybe a little suspect here.
Nico is Hood. And then you're good.
Well, the reason I didn't do Hood is because I don't think we have a space for Viper.
Oh.
You know?
True.
Though, I mean, what's another one draw? I mean, we could still do Titania.
Yep. We could still play the Titania and just, like, you're not clogging their whole board. You're only clogging one lane.
Mm-hmm. And then also you throw in Carnage to help with that Sentry. Right. Or if you miss on like a Goblin. Wait,
are we running Debris?
No, not right now.
Yeah, I don't think we need Carnage. It's just like, this is basically, is Sentry Eliath, or Sentry Annihilus a winning line, right?
Right.
That two-card KO. Which... Remember, guys, you're spending 9 energy to develop a 27-point differential. It is crazy good.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, what would you put in that last spot? We have a few threes already. A couple threes already. One can get reduced. One is played on. So, like,
hold on. We have a couple more logistics for Annales I just thought of. Does he key off of current power or base?
Zero less current. Power. So I think it's current.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not base. It's current.
That could get sticky with some things, but you could lean into it with others. Like, Man Thing could cause cards to hop that maybe you aren't expecting. So be careful around that. Some locations will cause things to hop. Be careful about that. Any of the negative power, like you could give them a Widow, basically is also a zero in a certain location. You could play Typhoid Mary, copy with Mystique, give to enemy. Play, I don't know. I just the possibilities are wild. You know, Binx is gonna do this, right, Brad? The Binx video is going to be Typhoid Mary into Mystique into Annihilus.
Could be. I'm trying to see. I'm just double checking.
Yeah, what our last card is here. I don't know. I feel like with the Annihilus, we want just something a little bit. Maybe we cut Eliath here to open up two spaces. You know? We just play everything and then we let Annihilus speak for himself in the fight at turn six.
Okay.
Especially if we're running Hobgoblin.
Yeah, that's fair. So
two spaces means it could be Debris or it could be Hood Viper.
So we grab for now Titania. I do Titania Carnage.
Okay. I don't love Carnage, but...
Well, I'm also thinking for this those instances in which you just... Because in my mind, if we're going in a Goblin deck, and we have Annihilus and we have Carnage, that lets me, like, normally I look at my opponent's side, I'm like, okay, there's three cards there. I don't think they're going to play here to fill it, but, like, it's risky for me to do the Goblin thing. By having Annihilus and Carnage, I kind of just don't care anymore. I'm just like, yeah, let's go for the high roll, right?
Yeah.
Because you have the backup plans.
You miss the goblin, they snap, then you destroy the goblin, still win, right. They're embarrassed, they uninstall. It's a whole it's a whole thing. Okay, I can see where your head's at. I would probably tweak the Carnage, but I'm going to have the deck in my hands to see how reliably this Annihilus is hitting on the final turns here to...
And worth noting that Carnage, surprisingly, because I've done this before in this kind of deck, in like a junk Renslayer deck, Black Widow and Renslayer herself are pretty solid hits for Carnage, funnily enough. Like in the later game when you're like, you don't need him anymore. So make the Carnage bigger.
Like if Renslayer at some point becomes obsolete, like you've played the cards you made cheaper. Right. So then you're like, yeah, she's a body that'll make Carnage even better. Yeah. And if you're in a world where Clog is like a consistent deck, having that little bit of extra cleanup from a meta mainstay is going to be solid.
Well, I think we cooked some of various lists. I think if you guys like that, I suppose. I didn't really think about it ahead of time. Just kind of thought in the moment, looking through the meta, thought, wait, let's cook up a couple lists. We can always do that for new releases every time. Just do like one or two lists on the fly, see what they can kind of look like. You guys can give us your feedback on whether you think the list looked decent or how you would do it or whatever. But yeah, overall, I'm excited for Annihilus. I think it's going to be a fun week.
We could bring the segment back as like a deck doctor moment if we get a mailbag episode together. Something like that could be really fun. But yeah, day one, be ready for Clog everywhere. Because he is far and away the most hyped card of the month, basically. I've seen a lot of people holding out to get him. A lot of people passed on Gladiator. Sorry, Gladiator, you weren't worth it. So that means people have extra resources to have a much more high chance of getting them. Even if they're your friend who just tries to roll the ones. Maybe he wasn't rolling ones at all on Gladiator. It does depend. Like, I think people did investigate Loki. I would love to get like a report on the Snap economy just consistently, but that's out of our hands.
Well, I think that's going to probably do it for us this week. Do you have any closing statements to make, Teddy?
Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys. Always very thankful for y'all. And we'll be streaming Annihilus, crafting those clog decks.
All right. Well, we love you. We appreciate you. We hope you guys enjoy your holidays. And we will be back. Maybe next week we'll be able to figure out a time to record and stuff like that. It's possible there might be, due to the holidays, might be a little bit of a time, tough schedule, but we should be able to make it work. Otherwise, we'll let you know over on Twitter. You can follow us at Can't Stop Snapping. And of course, Teddy, speaking of which, what do they need to not stop doing?
Don't stop snapping, guys. See ya.
Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast hosted and produced by Brad Seifert and Teddy Ninja, originally created by Michael Thurman.